Hello, welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan, and Mike, aka Two Puds, who this week I've realised reminds me quite a lot of Michael Bisping, the UFC fighter.
But a fat version.
You've been a little harsh on yourself there. He's only got one eye, so you can see better than him.
True. But 50% of anyway. To my left or right, I could take him, but
I'm sure anyone can take him.
If I came from his weak side, you ain't seeing me.
If you came from his weak side, you'd have,
just permanently, like, if he had no left eye, just
keep
on his
left. 3 seconds longer.
And just keep moving round and round and round, just punch him in the back of the head.
It's his eye. Yeah, it's his right eye. His right eye. Yeah, so there's some information for you. So you need to, shuffle to the left.
If I ever see him.
If you ever see him.
Done.
If you ever see him, get an autograph for me, please. Just ask him really nicely.
Just hold the paper just out of his view all the time and he keeps missing it. Yeah,
he's a really great guy.
That's
love
a good
it.
Way to start the pod. Blind jokes. Yeah,
You remind me a bit of him in terms of looks. Thanks. I didn't realize that today until I was watching a Michael Bisping clip, and there you were.
There I was. Yeah.
So, what's the name of the episode today, then, Mike?
So we are episode 34, and it is Duncan's Tales of Drunken Sunken Gold.
Duncan's Tales
of Drunken Sunken Gold.
Drunken Sunken Gold. Cool. Yeah. Nice. Sounds good to me. So we're going to talk about the top 10 most expensive or whiskies ever. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to talk about sort of treasure, whiskey that's found on shipwrecks and, you know,
Whenever someone says treasure, I can't stop myself like thinking of South Park. Do you remember the two Canadian lads? Treasure!
Treasure.
Treasure. Sorry.
I watched a lot of South Park, but I didn't watch all of the series.
Terrence and Philip.
Yeah.
Canadians.
Terrence and Philip.
Yeah.
I got that far.
Treasure.
South Park. Yeah. I was really, I love South Park, but I was more of a fan of Team America World Police.
Yeah.
I feel that's perfect cinema.
Probably the best.
Probably one of the funniest films ever made.
Easily.
Bacalaka stuff is just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So this week, I realized how bad this cask investment stuff is. Because I just kind of like shrugged it off. So one of my friends WhatsApps me. It's not 1999. He WhatsApps me and he goes...
He dropped me a DM on MSN Messenger.
Yeah, he DM'd me. He slid into my WhatsApp DMs. Yeah. And he said, is this good? And I was like, what is going... And it was one of those, this bottle of whiskey is appreciated 1,000,000,000%, some sort of Macallan bottle. And it genuinely had no idea. Not bottle, cask, right?
Yeah.
And it was one of these, I won't say the company.
Do it.
No, I can't even remember. But one of the ones that gets like slated.
Yeah.
And he genuinely was like, oh, is this good? Should I be buying a cask? And I was like, no, goodness me, no, you shouldn't be buying a cask. But it reminded me, this is the problem with that stuff.
Yeah.
The people that know it's a terrible thing. Know that room isn't there to grow, now how competitive is it? And people who don't know are the people that get conned.
But it's also, surely your natural instincts are saying, this man does not work for Microsoft and he's ringing my phone randomly to fix my computer. It's the same thing. You know he doesn't work for Microsoft. It's a scam. Suddenly, like, yeah, give me a pound. You can invest in this whiskey cask and retire.
Yeah.
Give me 10 grand and you can retire tomorrow.
He was like, is whiskey going up this much? I was like, not anymore it isn't. One cask. Someone bought some casks in the 80s when everything was going bust and... it transpired 30 years later, they were worth a boatload of money.
Yeah. So when it happens again in like a couple of years, buy some casks.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
it
was a reminder.
Though. So someone said to me when I went to the butchery course thing last week, they were chatting away. He was, I got some money.
Got any tips?
Yeah, I got some money invested in casks. And I was like, oh no. And I was like, what company is it? And again, I can't remember, but he went, No, my mate sort of told me that it was a decent one. I went, who's your mate? And he went, AD? And I went, from Amazon? He went, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, you know the one we were at Cutty Sark with?
AD, yeah.
And I went, if AD said it, it must be all right. I'd still be emailing him going, I'm going to come and visit my cask in a month. Is that a problem?
Yeah. I'm going to come and hug
say
it.
Yes, get your money out.
I'm going to get my nose in that bunghole. What's been in your glass this last week, Mike, and what are you having a sip of this evening?
what's been in my glass this week?
Tired eyes.
Not a great deal of whiskey. I did have a couple of samples from Paul Pierce Whiskey. And I had I think it was an SMWS Macallan. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the name of it, but it was like 62%. It was rocket fuel, but it was lovely. Right. So had that. And
was that spiked Spanish coffee?
That was chance? It. Yes. I think we might have had the same tasting pack off him.
No. So he was kind enough to send me a sample of that in the past, but I tried blind. So I didn't know it was Macallan.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was, and I, coffee came through so strongly.
It was huge.
I didn't know what it was, and obviously it's easy to get the tasting note.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was terrific. And then he told me it was a cask strength Macallan. Yeah. So I had no bias.
I did immediately add a couple of drops of water because I was like, oh my word, that is powerful stuff. So yeah, that's probably the only dram I've had this week, actually, with other things going on. I've had the occasional glass of red because, why not?
With the missus now.
Socially acceptable. Yeah, she can have one. I think if she times it so she can have one when she's feeding, it doesn't actually go into the milk or something. I don't know the science. She's probably just
lying. I remember
lying.
That. So basically, they need to have it whilst, at certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, so that's that. And then in my glass at the moment, I'm supping on the Wild Turkey 101. Gone bourbon. Yeah, you know. Came up in the Oswas and I was like, yeah, it's a good whiskey, but is it? I haven't had it for a little while. So just gone back in and do you know what? It's not amazing, but it's bloody great and I'd be well happy to have it. It's just nose is basically cherry, Coke and vanilla. And then palate is the same, just with a bit of oak chucked in and a bit of custard.
You can't go wrong really, can you?
Mega. 50.5%. And you can generally pick it up anywhere from like 18 to 25 quid on offer in places. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care about the age, how old it is. It's, good stuff. I know.
What kind of tumbler is that you've got there? That looks like a.
This tumbler is.
You got from a K's magazine in the 90s.
No, it's from Jameson.
Oh, that's your
Jameson. Barrel.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't see the branded writing on it.
No, yeah, that's from Jameson's. Thank you once again for getting me drunk last week. I am back in the land of living just.
it's a 3-day hangover.
Like an 8-day hangover, if I'm honest.
Oh, it's not even possible, Mike. What are you talking about?
Killed me.
So anything been annoying you this week then?
Oh, you might have to put the Ardna Merkin thing in here, just giving you fair warning. But the fuck leaves in my garden. I've got a huge tree behind me.
We've all got problems with leaves, Mike.
Mate,
I mean, they're
not
everywhere.
Like this.
It's the time of the year.
I know, but I've got a huge tree behind my house. And like, I'm going to cut it down. It's not in my garden, but it's like it falls purposely into mine. It doesn't go into any of my neighbours. It doesn't go into the garden who owns the bloody
selfish
thing.
Selfish tree.
All into there. And yeah, you sweep it all up, get rid of it, literally just look out the window, all again. So
just don't bother. Just let it pile up. Let it pile into a massive pile of leaves and then Barley can run and jump into it. It'd be a happy little dog, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're just going to have dog poo all over in my garden floods. It's just a disaster. Like you can't pick up dog poo
floods.
In it as well.
Unless your garden is covered and a roofed garden, I would expect it to have water that comes into it.
I
you mean
that.
It doesn't have adequate drainage?
It doesn't have adequate drainage because I live in Kent and there's clay. And basically my house builder is, again, get the Ardna Merkin ready. A fucking idiot.
Right. You're editing this one with all that language.
They used a steamroller in the garden on the clay. So really compacted that
down.
So no water can get through that ever.
They compressed it down.
Yeah.
He was like, whoever's going to buy this house with me, I hate them.
Yeah. And then at the front, they used like a really lightweight whacker plate on the tarmac. So that's all now lifting up. So they just, I don't know whether
made it like a lasagna. It's just a layer of very hard compressed clay, thin concrete, then hard compressed clay, thin concrete, then hard compressed clay, and then a bit of grass.
It's entirely possible he'd been out on the lash courtesy of Jameson's again, because he was such a stupid decision. He must have been just off it, like completely backwards. Yeah. So you wouldn't believe, I've got 3-meter holes in my garden where I've basically gone back to my Welsh roots and gone mining to try and get this thing to drain. So I have got, I'd say 6 3-meter holes, which I've dug by hand down just to get drainage, and it still doesn't drain.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
What's up my ass. Yeah. Leaves and idiots.
Leaves and bad drainage. Okay, fair enough.
How
can't
about
argue with those things.
Yeah, I'm normally a beacon of positivity, so yeah, not no. that's really got my back up. But how about you? What's been in your glass? What are you drinking now? And what's been up your arse?
Well, there's been a mixture in the glass. Hard to...
Maybe blending.
I did finish off an Infinity bottle. That's gone now. I've just had bottles from the front of the cupboard, really. The main one that's in my glass now that I got was a bottle of this Talisker X Parley Wilder Seas.
Was that the Amazon special?
Yeah, it felt appropriate for this pod, yeah. Considering the fact we're going to talk about some shipwreck stuff.
Yeah.
And it was about £51, £52 on Amazon, £7.75. I'm not sure really if it's worth 75 quid, but then, you know, these days with whiskey. But I tell you what, it's a lovely bottle.
Is it nicer than the 10?
Yeah, it's sweeter than the 10. It's definitely more interesting. It's very similar on the nose to the 10. It's super Talisker. And whenever I have a Talisker, and I haven't had one in a while, I'm always reminded of just the strength of the DNA in Talisker.
Yeah.
It really is one of those whiskies that you should be able to tell blind. It really just, it's in its own little league, isn't it? You know, bear in mind that we had Tour of Vague the other week, which is from the same, which is from the same island, right? Isle of Skye. So bear in mind we had that. And they do feel quite different, really. And Talisker just has its completely own DNA. So this one has more treacle on the nose than the Tem. And it's still peaty, smoky, peppery, bit of chili spice. But there's like a sweet kind of caramel running through it, like licorice. And it's very fruity because it's got cognac cask finish. So it's got like raisins in there, as you'd expect, but also like green apples, maybe some figs. Really enjoy it. And
I really like the bottle as well and like the design on it. That had me. I was very close to pressing buy on that.
I don't think you would regret it if you did.
Yeah.
It's
probably in the Black Friday deals at the moment, or will be.
Well, it is in Amazon. I don't think it's going to get any cheaper than about £51. That feels like pretty good value for a sort of special edition. I think like 2 or 3 quid from it goes to a Parley or something, or to the Wilder Seas or something which helps the environment and sea.
I thought it was Depp's legal fund. Or
Given the fact that apparently the planet's going to heat up by 3 degrees now in the next however many years, there'll be plenty of sea going around anyway, won't there? So,
exactly.
Yeah. So that was good. I also had one of my favourite drams in the cupboard, which is a Master Malt Lechig, which is a 12-year-old sherry cask. I treated myself to a wee drop of that.
Do you mean the Ledaig?
Yes. That one. So I treated myself to a drop of that. I don't know. I think I had some old Perth cask strength. I definitely had some more Scallywag, which I think is, that blending malt.
I love
really
Scallywag.
I know, but the thing is that it doesn't feel trendy to have it. That's the problem.
No, that whole series is just banger after banger.
The dark chocolate note on the end of that, on the finish, is so pronounced on that Scallywag. You cannot miss it. It's right there. You get the Christmas cake in the mix, no marzipan on top, and you know, a few other things going on, but right at the end you absolutely get that dark chocolate note really strongly on the finish. It just hangs around in your mouth and it's good. It's a really good blend. It's very good. I gave one to someone's dad, to someone to give to their dad for Christmas, and I think that'll be a happy dad, right?
You know, big time.
Someone else's dad, to save them shopping for their own whiskey, right? Last year I think they asked for recommendation. I said get Cotswolds and they said they like that, and so this year that same dad is going to get Scallywag.
Was that a request? Because my Christmas requests from people have started coming through now. What shall I get my dad? I'm like,
yeah, kind of. Except what I did was I just knew they would want something, so I got some in the Master of Malt 3 for 2 and just gave them one bottle, and they gave me £22. What a bargain, right?
You definitely made a pound on it.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm trying really hard not to buy another bottle from Master of Malt, which is some sort of 17-year-old single cask Highland Park. Which looks like it's like a refill sherry PX.
Is that cheap?
$69.95 for a 17-year-old single cask. That's about 56%.
I see. How are
refill
they
sherry
that?
PX?
How are they getting that so cheap? That's got to be.
I don't know, but if the tasting notes actually make my mouth water, so
see that sets alarm bells off for me.
Do you think?
Yeah. Don't know.
You think that's too good to be true?
Send us some samples, Master of Malt, and we'll let you know.
Oh. Hang on, are you going to share your Springbank news?
I was going to, because I was going to clip in afterwards and say, speaking of not buying whiskey, I've...
Right.
Springbank ballot finally successful. And managed to bag myself the new Palo Cortado, which just, filled me with sheer happiness.
I can't wait to get my sample. Thank you. Thank you in advance.
Mate, of course.
That's going to make all this worthwhile. Yeah. As long as I get a sample of it, yeah.
10-year-old, 55%.
Paolo Cortado.
Springbank, finished in Paolo. Brilliant. It might even be an exclusive. I don't know. I just saw Paolo and got so excited. And yeah, I only did it this morning. It closed this afternoon. Like, I nearly missed it. I didn't see the email. I was like, oh.
You'll be cracking it open. So.
Oh, straight away. Straight away.
Exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't matter, does it? I mean.
I might even just drop a couple of drams in the bath next time just to bathe in the gloriousness of it.
I've got nothing to moan about this week. All I'd say is I started watching a TV show called Halo, and occasionally I like a sci-fi show, but I feel like sci-fi shows haven't been that good since the sort of 90s and early 2000s.
Based on the Xbox game?
Yeah. It's nice. Really good. Yeah, it's really good.
What's that on?
Excellent. It's on Paramount. It's top quality.
Oh, I haven't got Paramount.
After this, I'll probably cancel it, but Paramount had some really good shows on it.
I'll try and get a little free deal, binge
it. I've just really enjoyed it. I don't watch that much sci-fi anymore because I feel like the quality of it has dropped, but this has gone right back up there. You know when it's like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's just serious enough?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What did I watch? So
you sort of buy into it, but it doesn't feel like it's too serious.
I've binged a whole series of something on Netflix called Mist, which is based on a Stephen King novel and film.
Yep.
And got to like episode 8 or something. Pretty rubbish, I'll be honest. It wasn't great. And then it went to a kind of mini cliffhanger. And I went, here we go, load season 2. No season 2. And I went, when was that made? And
it was like, it just cancelled it.
2020. And I'm like, you're having a laugh. Googled it quickly. It. No season 2. So the storyline's just left. And I'm like, for me, that kills me. That absolutely, that'll play on my mind for months. I'm going to have to AI.
You just wake up.
Yeah, I'm going to say, AI, pretend I have the rights to Mist. What would have happened? Finish the story for me. Give me a 10,000-word book.
And then you can go out and pitch it to some film director types.
Yeah.
And see if you can make the second series.
I mean, I could just read the Stephen King book and watch the film, but probably it's easier. Not the point. Yeah, raging.
Raging.
Another thing that's been up my ass. I hate that. There is nothing more frustrating. Then,
I've got the old winter coats out as well this week. Put them on the back of the door.
Oh, man.
Two of them.
I did. Mine barely does up. The baby weight's kicked in.
Yeah. Well, it's because it gets harder and harder to go out and do exercise and stuff because you've got to do that baby thing on top of work. I am going to give this 24-hour fasting a crack. I'm going to go evening to evening and have 24 hours no food. Just see how it goes. Just black coffee. I went for 2 runs the weekend and go for a run tomorrow, so it's not like I'm not exercising.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try this fasting thing because I had like a big lunch today and then I just felt really sluggish after it. And then I was like, why did I bother?
What? Why did you bother eating?
Yeah, why did I bother eating?
I think it's just to live, mate.
I think I'm better at having food in the evening is what I'm saying. I shouldn't have big meals during the day, even though it's better for you apparently. It's not better for me because then I just go into sort of sluggish like... right,
but everyone's got different opinions. Like,
it's a jacket potato. Yeah, of course, everyone's different. But this was
you look like
this is just a jacket potato, curry jacket potato, curry chicken jacket potato. Yeah. Something.
Give me cheese, ham, and a roll with some chocolate in the morning. I'm like, weird. But they would look at us and go, like, what? Like, yeah.
I'll eat anything. I don't care. But the point is I'm going to try this 24-hour fasting thing because apparently it's restorative, and see how that goes, and report back.
I research wait with bated breath to see how how that goes.
I can get into my coats, but it would be nice if they were a little looser.
Yeah. Right? I'm at the point where I had a nice coat, a nice through dark coat. As you've seen on our website, that is the one that is now punching belly quite easily. And I was like, do I have to buy a bigger size?
Another coat.
Give that to my dad.
I remember you saying before that you just have clothes in all different sizes, so you can just go up and down.
Yeah, but I really like that coat. It's like,
lose some weight then. Fat, yes. Michael Bisping.
Yeah, exactly. Goes back to the original point. You're nasty. You're a bully.
Yeah, I'm a bully. That's right. It was you that said that, not me. I said you look like Michael Bisping. You're the one that went to... you went to wait. You didn't have to, right?
I had to attack myself before you attacked me. I knew what was coming.
All right. Okay. So... top 10 most expensive whiskies. Should we get into that?
Yes, go for it. Because, yeah.
So this has all come from the fact that a bottle of whiskey has sold on auction. Do you know which auction it was? Did you see that?
Sotheby's, I think, I want to say.
Right, Sotheby's. A bottle of Macallan sold for a not inconsequential amount of money. Is it 2.1 million, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
2.2, I think, after fees.
Right, yeah, after fees. Imagine the fees on your purchase being over 100 grand. I mean, now we're talking, right? I mean, serious.
If you're shopping for whiskey at Sotheby's, it's not a problem for you, is it? Let's be honest.
So it's all these 19, 26, 60-year-old fine and rare Macallans. Those are the ones that are going for the serious money.
Yeah.
With the fancy artwork on them.
And this
is... apparently there were 60 bottles or something, or 40 bottles, and then there was just 12 with the artwork, some artwork from like an Italian on them.
It was
something like that.
Valero Adami.
That was it.
Yeah, because Whiskey Lates on social media, I forget their names, so apologies, but I do love them. They're really nice people. Sort of, they went into Sotheby's to have a look at it and stuff, and they went to the auction live just to experience it. And you're sort of like, yes, it's ridiculous, but to some people, they could have been more interested in the artwork. It's just something to keep hold of. They could drink it. You never know. 2.2 million to some people is literally like water.
But everyone's been talking. That's what I'm saying. So everyone's talking about it. So again, I'm like doing the school run, and people that know I'm into whiskey are going, oh, did you see that bottle of whiskey went for 2.1 million? I'm like, yeah, it's Macallan. They're like, that's just, why would you spend that much money on whiskey? And I'm like, these are billionaires probably, right? It's nothing. It's like a drop in the ocean. They could buy 100 bottles of 2.1 million pound whiskey and still have, you know, still get all their sports cars and everything else. It's like peanuts to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised. That just means that not enough people are competing for it, because it could be any price really, couldn't it? It could be 5 million. Does it really make a difference?
Do you know what? All I'll say, the only positive is that it's getting normal people talking about whiskey. So it might just encourage a few more people to, like, well, obviously go to Tesco's and buy Macallan and think it's good. Yeah, but they might just go, oh, I like that. I'll try this.
So I thought, for balance, I was trying to think of, this is the most expensive bottles of whiskey. So we've got about six of the top 10 of this 1926 Fine and Rare, or Michael Dillon, or Valerio Adami bottles, or
Peter Blake. That was mega.
Do you like that one, do you?
I could have bought one of those. I think it was $3,500 or something, one of the Peter Blake ones. Not that one.
Not that one.
No, I could have. It was the back of a lorry.
The original Peter Blake one is like sort of black and white kind of labeling, with sort of yellow, sort of punched out gold. Probably gold, yellow.
Actual writing.
Yeah, it was
signed
limited edition artwork from Sir Peter Blake.
Signed with real pauper's blood.
Mm. You could have bought an original one for $3,500. Well, Mike, I'm going to say that's a miss. I'm not here to give an investment advice, but that was a bad decision.
Yeah.
However, if it was $3,500 for the more recent one, they are common as muck, aren't they?
Still going for a lot, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't got one. Don't want one.
Sass.
Don't want one.
That came with a side of sass, that comment.
Well, did you see? The artwork was horrendous on that one. It just looked like someone had used paint to make it. Now...
Do you know what? I nearly went really dark and said they dug up Roald Dahl to make him paint it with.
So they're the top six. And then number seven is the Yamazaki 55-year-old. Now, that's a bottle of whiskey that I wouldn't mind owning. That went for 6.2 million Hong Kong dollars in 2020.
So that about tenner?
Convert Hong Kong dollars to pounds. Let's have a look. 6.2 million. Well, that's about £636,000 in today's sterling.
Ridiculous.
So it could be anything because of the currency fluctuation. The pound is basically like Venezuela now. Yeah. We're in Liz Truss Venezuela meltdown.
Today we are rich. Tomorrow we're on the streets.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, could check tomorrow and find that it's actually worth £2 or £10 million in UK money. Who knows which direction we're going to go? But so was that one. What else have we got in the list making up the top 10? Another Peter Blake. So Macallan, another Yamazaki 55-year-old. Oh, and then an interesting entry at number 10, the Kurosawa 52-year-old Zodiac Rat Cask. Specifically, single cask 5627. That's nice to see a single cask there coming in into the list.
Do you think
in a lovely
when
box.
The owner of that got it into the house, and went straight into the kitchen and went, there's a rat in my kitchen, what am I gonna do?
What a banging tune that was.
Nice. Yeah.
Probably then had a glass of red, red wine afterwards, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. Put a ginger wig on.
Yeah. Anyway, that one went for a paltry £363,000 in March 2020. And a scanning, which these auction houses are mostly all the big names like Sotheby's or Bonhams. Hmm. But Wick's Whiskey Auctioneer does make it in for one of them. One of them was sold on Whiskey Auctioneer, which would have been really exciting at the time if you were watching that auction. Which one was it?
Was that Enter the Dragon? Enter the Dragon!
Yeah. Number three.
Oh, no way.
It was in April 2020. It went for £1 million.
£1 million.
That's a good action. Came with a free shark with freaking lasers. Yeah. And a cat that just sits on your lap, white cat that you can stroke. Yeah.
And a mini version of yourself.
Yeah, me. That would be so good. Whenever you, these bottles don't even come with miniatures. You don't even get a miniature with them. They're just, you can't even try it.
That's because if you try it, you might find out it's just dishwater.
Yeah, most of them, I'm for real suspicion about a lot of these old bottles. I know they try really hard, but I find it really hard to believe that a lot of these bottles at auctions that claim to be classic Macallan or whatever aren't just, is it really that whiskey?
Yeah.
Is it, because it's, yeah, do you know, is it not just someone's taken that bottle and refilled it and resealed it or whatever? I don't really know how the auction houses are supposed to keep up with. I'm not talking about bottles that go for like £1 million. I'm talking about bottles that go for a few thousand pounds.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. I'm very suspect about that. Yeah. Like, what's that one? Oh, what's that magazine? Private Eye. There's a Private Eye Macallan that I've seen a few times. People sort of saying they have it. And that looks exactly like the kind of bottle that somebody could just copy, right?
Yeah.
And make somehow. Yeah. So I'd be like, not just to be clear, not it's me. I wouldn't buy that kind of stuff. I just would feel so much like I was going to get conned.
Exactly.
And it's not my thing anyway. But I don't understand how people can have so much confidence. I guess they just think, well, they just offload it if it's, you know, they're going to offload it anyway, right? So
yeah, exactly. They're not buying to open it. Yeah. So
yeah. So I mean, I'd love to know how many of these bottles really are kicking around.
Yeah.
At any one time. So I thought for balance, because honest to a malt, we would also talk about the cheapest bottle of whiskies ever.
Oh.
And it stuck in my mind. I think this was Morrison's. If it wasn't, somebody should correct us. I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but a year or so ago, Morrison's put out, I think it was them, a supermarket anyway. Mm. Take it back if it wasn't Muzzers. They put Glenlivet Caribbean Reserve, which should have been £25, up for £2.50. And people were buying like 40 of them type stuff. And they must have sold thousands.
Yeah.
And then they put their foot down and said they weren't going to honor any of the sales.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what the cheapest bottle of whiskey ever sold is. And if anyone has any ideas, let us know. Because it wasn't that one in the end, because they never actually went through with it, did they?
No.
Do you have any ideas, Mike?
I got no idea. I don't really remember that one.
I mean, recently, it can't be, you can't go back to.
No.
But I once found a pack of polos under a bed when I was cleaning up from like the 80s when I was like, or 70s when I was like, I don't know, 15. So they would have been about 30 years old. For a start, they were very soft. They weren't very edible. And they had like a 2p sticker on the label or something.
Amazing. It's like 10p yeah. Freddos.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Right. Rest in peace, the original Freddo.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd love to know what the cheapest bottles of whiskey ever sold that you know of in recent times,
yeah.
And it definitely wasn't this Glenlivet Caribbean.
It's gonna be one of those bottles of Dimples, which there seems to be, or a Bell's Decanter, because it seems to be about $4 million per auction.
But then you've got to pay fees. I mean, what's the cheapest you can get something at auction for?
Fiver.
I mean, maybe it's that then. Like, so £5 plus fees.
Yeah, it's gonna be £5, half empty.
But like, what about retail though?
Yeah.
Oh. You've got form in buying half empty bottles.
I've got my money back. Thank you.
All right. Fair enough. So you did some research on
Drunken Sunken Gold.
Right? Drunken Sunken Gold, yeah. So what did you find out?
So probably, in my humble opinion, the most famous whiskey shipwreck, which had two films based upon it, which was Whiskey Galore. Films were released in 1949, and there's a really crap remake in 2016. I highly recommend watching the black and white original. It's actually funny, and good value. And the accents are brilliant. So, yeah, essentially, SS Politician was sailing from Liverpool to Jamaica. And that was...
When you say the accents are brilliant, how brilliant? As brilliant as in the film Highlander, when Sean Connery does a Spanish man, brilliant?
So the local Scottish people that are in the film, obviously, great accent. The English people brought over to sound like them, less so.
Not that good.
Not that good. But entertaining.
But not on Sean Connery doing a Spanish fellow in Highlander.
Yeah. No, just entertaining.
With his... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so 1941, it was sailing from Liverpool, Jamaica, had a bucket load of whiskey on there, had a whole load of Jamaican currency, and basically the captain was an idiot, crashed it, and right. he started to sink. So,
how, do you know how he crashed it?
He was on his mobile phone, wasn't paying attention.
He was on the phone. Yeah,
straight away.
And just let that be a lesson
just
to you.
Swerved.
Don't be on your phone.
Just swerved.
And you're in control of a cargo shop.
Yeah, I don't think there was any icebergs involved in this, but it was merely just rocks. So they all enjoyed whiskey on the rocks in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just off the Eriskay coast and essentially...
Where's that?
Hebrides. Scotland.
Okay.
In case you didn't know.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ran aground. The locals had to come and rescue them because the Coast Guard couldn't get there. Mm. Before the locals had even got there, they'd worked out what was on board and had basically started plotting to get all this whiskey off. So they had just a massive amount of whiskey on there. I can't even remember the figures that they said for the amount that was on board.
What, in terms of bottles?
Cases, yeah. So there's...
I mean, I think I saw a number of 264,000 bottles of whiskey.
Yeah, there you go. So a huge amount of whiskey, and essentially they robbed it.
Which is about the size of an average whiskey collection in 2023.
Yeah, it's the size of mine.
Most people's houses. Yeah. Which is why prices have gone up, people, just so you know. You keep buying it.
No.
Stop buying it, prices won't go up.
They were pinching it, they stored it, customs came on the island, and it was kind of, the film is pretty accurate to an extent, but I think the film is actually quite jolly in comparison to actually what happened. I think people went to jail for like 6 month stretches and stuff over it because the customs guy went so crazy that the locals had stolen all the stuff. I think apparently the customs guy thought they'd stolen 2,000 cases, which was 24,000 bottles. But I think the locals sort of guesstimated that they had 7,000 cases, close like 84,000 bottles away.
And thirsty locals.
They dived on the site since. So there's some have gone up for auction with a bottle from the wreck, a diving mask and a brick from the ship went for 6,000 from the ship.
That's amazing.
But yeah, one of the locals that was there and nicked, I think he said he had 15 bottles away and he used to store them under his bed. He was telling stories about it and he said there was one bloke who managed to, well, this is, it kind of harps back to our story of getting whiskey deliveries in the house. So he was coming home getting absolutely smashed and the missus couldn't understand what was happening. So his wife rang customs and told him that he's getting whiskey from somewhere. So she grassed him up and he had 24 cases.
What, she told customs that he had whiskey?
Yeah. And he had 24 cases attached to his anchor line and he was just bringing up his anchor line, opening up and just coming home and getting absolutely battered every day. So she grassed him up. Absolutely savage.
So he was drinking it as well.
Yeah.
How old was this whiskey then? So if it was,
so I think it was like
1941,
but it would have been just, I'm sure there were like a few decent bottles in there, but I think from what I remember, there was basically like a load of blends in there. I think it was.
But
it would have been just normal whiskey. So Ballantine's, Vat 69, nothing like amazing.
Oh, okay.
But because it was obviously during the war, everyone was on rations. They had no whiskey on the island.
So they couldn't get hold of it.
And
right,
this
okay,
just
yeah.
fell into their laps. So, yeah, they absolutely just rinsed it for everything they could. And, yeah, I think the customs guy in the end got so peed off that they were still stealing from it, he blew the whole thing up. He actually put, like, got explosive charges and destroyed
blew
it.
Blew it all up.
Yeah. And I think it was it. The
madman.
Someone said, the ultimate stupidity, waste, vandalism, symbolizing a mental attitude beyond comprehension. And another local right. said, dynamite in whiskey. You wouldn't think there'd be men in the world so crazy as that.
Yeah. Who would do that?
I love it. So, yeah, that is a wicked story. And yeah, if you haven't watched the films, Whiskey Galore, it's one of my go-to. If I'm ever like home alone and I've got like the evening and I'm just having a couple of drams, I'll chuck the original one on. And if I'm
so you're saying, hang on, you're saying to watch Home Alone or you're saying to watch Whiskey Galore, which one?
Both. Start with Kevin and then get onto Whiskey Galore once you've had a few drams.
If you're ever Whiskey Galore, then you'll put on Home Alone.
Kevin!
That's what you're saying, right? Yeah. That's a nice story. I actually didn't know that story, but I don't know much about any of these stories, so we thought we'd be interested to have a look into it, didn't we? So, any other snippets to share on the SS politician?
You can still buy, you can find at auction, a blend, which was a tiny bit of whiskey that was recovered from the sea around it and then blended with other Scotch whiskey. Probably wouldn't bother, but that is still available if you really wanted to hunt it down in auctions and things like that, and it's not expensive.
Obviously, so they've just like put a tiny bit of into a blend.
Yeah. Right. If you find an original bottle.
It's like Port Ellen being in Big Pete.
Yeah, exactly. It's like.
I mean, it's in there, but could you tell?
If you want an original bottle, you're looking at $6,000 in
deepest chips.
Yeah.
But in 1943, disaster overwhelmed this little island. Not famine nor pestilence, nor Hitler's bombs, or the hordes of an invading army. But something far, far worse.
There is no whiskey.
So, another one is this ship that sunk in 1854 in December on a passenger steamer called the Westmoreland, which was in Lake Michigan in the northern part of it. And sadly, in addition to some lives that were lost, they also lost 280 barrels worth of whiskey. Oof.
How'd you sink in a lake? Right? You got to be a really bad, I was going to say driver, captain.
I think lakes in that part of the world are quite big, aren't they? They're more like seas inland.
Do they have waves?
They must do if the lake is big enough. I mean, even small wakes, small lakes. I don't know, Jonathan Ross. Even small wakes have waves. What are you doing to me? Oh, my days. Anyway, so apparently it was forgotten in by history until 2010 when a diver called Ross Richardson, great name, he was exploring the wreckage and according to his team in cold and calm conditions, and they found it. And they said that in best case, there could have been as many as 56,000 bottles, right? Possibly. Another one was in 1895, which was the Firth of Clyde.
The Firth of Clyde, that's a great name.
On the wreck of the SS Wallachia, apparently. So Firth of Clyde in Scotland.
Where are you going?
That was a steamship.
Just off to the Firth of Clyde or the Wallachia. Ah, decent.
And it looked like they recovered sort of bottles and ceramic decanters and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
There was another one, which was 1910, or in about 2010. They discovered some of the bottles of whiskey, and I think it was rum or brandy from the Shackleton individual. What's he called? Well, I mean, so this is whiskey recovered from the ice of Antarctica, basically. Ernest Shackleton, that's him. Goodness me. Yeah, so they discovered some bottles that he'd stashed away, basically, yeah. And then the last and most interesting one is that whiskey that was discovered in Ames, outside of New York.
Ames.
Okay, yeah. Where someone had been, a bootlegger had stashed it all in the walls of the house, right? You've been there.
I've been to the town, yeah. I can't really remember. Yeah, yeah. As soon as you said the name, I was like, oh my God, yeah.
I guess it's probably like a tourist attraction.
You'd love that, though, wouldn't you? Imagine like moving into a house and just being like, hang on.
So good.
This wall should go back another meter. Like, let's just crack it open.
And we've that got point when you realise
1920s prohibition booze. They'd be like,
that would be so good. Although it could just be really bad, couldn't it? It doesn't have
it
to
doesn't
be
matter. Wrong. No, even if you never drank it, like get photos, provenance it, sell it, cash in, make the monies.
Yeah, make all the monies. I don't know how many bottles he got. They sold the bottles at $1,000 each, approximately, the ones that they found down
nice.
In the walls of that house.
Yeah, I love stories like that. Good.
Yeah. 66 bottles of whiskey they found.
Nice.
So $66,000 for doing nothing other than just pulling some putting some holes in his walls.
And then sold it in auction, they would have come away with about $5,000. That's decent.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are our top five then. Obviously, the SS politician, Lake Michigan, Firth of Clyde, Ernest Shackleton's stash bottles in the ice of Antarctica, and the bootlegger outside of New York. Yeah. If you know of any others, feel free to let us know.
I've dived into this Kibokan 15, by the way, that they were so kind to send out to us. And it's decent, isn't it?
Nice of you to catch up, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I've got a lot of samples to get through. I'm snowed under with SMWS samples and bottles at the moment, mate. So,
oh, of course you are.
You know.
Free calendar.
Don't. Really good whiskey, though. Yeah. I got on the nose, honeycomb, salted caramel, cheesecake, strawberry, and then palate. All the same was there with just like quite a gentle smoke, actually. And then blackcurrant and raspberry pavlova is what I've just written down quickly. That is a really decent dram. And
it's thick, isn't it?
Yeah. 15 years old, 50%. What did you say the price was? Can you remember?
I think it's about 90 quid.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within my rules of £10 a year, done.
Did you get the note, that sort of struck match note running through it?
Mm. I got it on the palate. It's kind of like underneath. Yeah. It's a slightly sulfuric note. I don't mind that. So it's not like, it's not cordite. It's not like firework type of smell. It is definitely like the old, it's like the wax they use in the matchstick, if you know what I mean? That kind of sulfuric smell. Yeah.
Yeah, good tasting notes there. Nice.
Thanks, yeah.
It's decent, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. It's thicker and richer than other 15s on the market, I think.
Yeah. I got a lot of time for Kibokan, and I think it's just one of those underrated, again, goes under the radar. There's probably people going, no, don't talk about it, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that's, for 90 quid, if you're looking for a Christmas present for someone that likes a slight bit of smoke.
I feel like it's just a mental barrier because you just feel like you don't want to pay £90 for a 15-year-old.
Mate, Lara just paid 50 quid for a playmat.
I'm not talking about you.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Generally people.
Money.
I'm not targeting you.
It's like, things these days are ridiculous. 50
You need to get yourself down the old... You could have got that for like £3 off Vinted or something.
I said just put her on a towel, but hey.
you need to get yourself... You need to get into the sort of the secondhand type shopping thing because otherwise you tied it up and you could spend like £500 and you could have bought all that same stuff for about 40 quid.
Yeah.
The thing is, once they've used it for like few weeks, it just looks secondhand anyway.
Exactly. And anything they poo, you're just getting rid of because it's yellow and toxic.
Honestly, it's better to reuse stuff but buy stuff people have already used.
Yeah.
Defo.
Yeah.
Well, that was us running through most expensive bottles. If you have any idea on the cheapest bottles of whiskey ever sold recently, some stashed old whiskey. And I think in another episode of Future, we might have a look at messages that people have found in bottles.
Oh.
I would love to do that. I would love to. I think it was the kind of thing we did at school. You know, like you would bury something in the ground. You'd do like a time capsule.
Like a poo. Oh, yeah. Time capsule. Sorry,
I actually wonder if people have ever just lost whiskey off the side of a boat.
You know, definitely.
They must have done like a whole bottle of whiskey or a part of a bottle of whiskey.
Yep.
You never hear people sort of... Do you drink it if you found one? If it was sealed, probably. If it's not sealed, no.
Probably try
be anything
it.
Inside.
Yeah,
it?
If it was, yeah, not if it's, if the seal's broken. Because no. bottles are often used for other things.
What happens if the seal was broken?
Yeah.
It was a Springbank.
I'd put it in auction and sell it, and no one would know.
It's a Springbank 21. Yeah. It's half full. Find it just floating towards you on the shore.
Yeah.
Have a wee nip of it or you leave it?
I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it. I'm taking the lid off and pouring it for our fallen soldiers. This is for the homies, but yeah.
You're not going to try it, no?
No. And again, stuff you bury, you can't, from a man that lived in the woods for a couple of weeks, don't dig things up.
Lived or
woods.
Hid.
Yeah, not great.
Hid. Huh? Yeah. Right, cool. That's enough. That's all from me this week. Appreciate it. Thanks for the weekly check-in, Mike.
Yes, it's all from me as well. So if you... do want to follow us on all the usual places on social media. It's Honest to a Malt on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, which we've kind of forgotten about. And obviously my handle, Whiskey Wings, and Duncan's on Whiskey Tip. Thank you for listening. Keep an eye on the t-shirts because Duncan's been very hard at work updating that and producing more t-shirts. So go and have a nose. T-mill. It's on the website and ours. Avaganda.
Yeah. You can just go to the homepage and you'll find a link.
Yes. Right. See you on the next one. Bye bye bye.
I was heating up custard and I just put the whole thing. It was like I just put the whole thing in the microwave. Didn't really pay any attention. And then it set alight.
What?
It had aluminium foil or metal inside it. It wasn't even that bad. Actually, it added a lovely sort of slightly toasted note to the custard. It's beautiful.
Have you not got a metal button on your microwave? So you can press it and then you're fine. I suppose if you thought about it, you wouldn't have put it in.
If I'd known, I wouldn't have put it in.
Yeah.
You're correct. Yeah. I think part of me did know, but part of me just went, I'd be all right. It wasn't all right. I managed to catch it just before it caught. It set a light to my microwave.
You are just, there you go. You've taken my restaurant story from last week and you've just gone, well, Michelin stars my ass. Let's put some metal in the microwave. Smoke some custard.
Smoked custard. That's my new tasting note that I'm going to find in whiskey.
Coconut smoked mustard.